I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. Time won't
celebration. This place is always celebrating. My family, I love this church. Yeah, you know that. And I love you. And that's a warning. Special, special, special to me. And because you pray for my family, you're so very special to my family. Especially my wife and little grandson, Finn, whom many of you know personally by now. Little Finn's not little anymore. He came into this world about that big, weighing about 2 pounds. And now he's about this big, and he weighs 35 pounds. He's got a lot wrong with him, but there's nothing wrong with his appetite. But he's into this world and sustained into this world by your prayers. I love you, man. I thank you for that. Janora's doing some better. But something's paralyzing her from the waist down now. And we've got a little reprieve. They put some shots on each side of her spine, and she can carry her left leg a little better. And she's off of her walker for a while. And we're praying this is the beginning of something great. But since she left your place here 3 years ago, until some better power in her lower extremities, that was the first good news that little girl had. It has just been, she's had 2 stints since she left. a defibrillator installed. Horrible amount of dope she has to take to keep her blood treated. Many of you know about it because you're in the same boat. But my wife and my family love you for your prayers, and we thank you very much. And we celebrate with you today. We celebrate with you. Some things go without being said. You know what we celebrate? We celebrate a risen Savior. When we show up, we don't have to say it. We're celebrating today a risen Savior, victorious over sin and death, man. Well, that goes without saying. Well, there's some other things that we confess by pulling up in the parking lot. You know it? And it goes without saying. Number one, we confess a conscience of sin. We confess that by coming to... What are you coming to church for? We have a consciousness of sin. Number two, we confess there's consequences to sin. And number three, we celebrate there is a cure for sin. Amen. All right, first of all, I would say the consequence of sin. If we're going to discuss or talk about the consequences of sin, it can't be done unless we go back to the beginning and the origin of it. So take your Bibles and turn back to where God created Adam and Eve, because that's where it all began. And we're not going to read the whole narrative, but what I would like to do is read a couple of verses just to get our mind on it. Get our mind around the creation of Adam and Eve. And look in verse 27 of chapter 1, Genesis 1 and 27, talking about the consciousness of sin. 1 and 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now that's the statement. It's flat. There's nothing preparatory in front of it. It's just, there it is. And I accept it 100%. You and I are created beings. Now, God did some things for Adam and Eve just to set the scene that we all know. But just to remember it, He created a most beautiful garden and put them in it. Now, you got to have something to do. You know what? I retired. You know what I did? Found something to do. Man has to have something to do. Where do we learn that? Right here. Because He created a beautiful garden and He put Adam and Eve in it. But He put them in there to trim it and to keep it. All right? So they had a beautiful job to do in the most beautiful garden and everything in the world to eat. Verse 8 now of chapter 2. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made He the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you know the story, but just as a reminder, there was one commandment that God gave them. They had a beautiful garden. They walked with God every day. They loved God. God loved them. They were the sons and daughters of God. And they had it made. That's where that comes from. And now God said, okay, everything's good. Here's one commandment for you. Look with me in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not maybe, not perhaps. That day you'll die. Now we know, Bible study, Pastor Mollage, that his spirit died that very day. He had one commandment to keep. Now if you witness to very many people, you're going to run across those that are commandment keepers. And they'll say, I keep the Ten Commandments. You know what your best answer is? Good. Can you name 10? Can you name 5? Good. Can you name 1? They can't. You know what this teaches? Adam and Eve are your progenitors. Do you know that? They couldn't keep 1. They lost it. They missed it. All right, now, here's what I want to say about Adam and Eve. Just a little bit about Adam and Eve there. Get your mind around them. And I want to say this. Adam and Eve knew what they were doing, and their actions prove that they had a conscience. You know what conscience is? It's knowledge. When you know something, you have a conscience of it. And that's why God called that tree the tree of the what? Knowledge of good and evil. That thing will give you conscience. Now, conscience, okay, your actions, their actions, proved either their innocence or their guilt. Let me show you what I mean. Look at chapter 2 and verse 25. Chapter 2, 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, there's a ton in that. But just let me say this to you. They were naked. Now, what were their actions to prove they were innocent? They were not ashamed. They didn't care. You know what that proves? They're innocent. You know what that is? That's you. That's you or your children when they were just little tots, maybe 2 years old, and you're bathing that little rascal in the bathroom, and the phone rings, and you turn your head, and that little dude escaped. He is out of there, dude, and he is running right across the carpet in the living room in front of the whole family, just as naked as the day he was born. And you know what he's saying? Why? He don't care. He's innocent.
Yeah.
You know what I wished? I wished I could be innocent. Now, I want to show you this. Their actions proves their guilt as well. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 6. Now, you know this. I got to tell you this. You got to remember this. Whenever you're walking with God and you're having fellowship with God, whenever it gets really good, you've been there, right? Shake your head like this. You love Him. He's sweet. He's precious to you. But when He's really that close, get ready. The devil's going to show up. So they were walking, communing with God. They had it made. They loved Him. He loved them. And then the cool of the day, they just visited. How good can that be? Here comes the devil. And you know what he did. He tempted the weaker vessel. He tempted Eve first. That's where we're at. He tempted her with the one commandment God gave them to keep. And in verse 6, as a result, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And he gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now let me tell you something. When a child comes to the point in their life that they know the difference between right and wrong, and they willfully choose to do wrong, they're exposed. And it shows a conscience. Yes, it does. I'm saying what they knew drove them to do what they did. Now watch what the results of this is in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they, look at that word, what is it? Say it with me. They knew. They knew that they were naked, and they, number one, they knew they were naked. Number two, they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. Now, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Abraham and said unto him, where art thou? He'll always seek you out, and you cannot hide. If you're His, He's going to come to you and say, what are you doing here? Don't get away. And He said this, their actions are showing, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. They are driven by what they know. Conscience is to know the difference between right and wrong. And a guilty conscience, which they had and drove them to guilt, to these actions, proved they had a guilty conscience. They had a conscience of sin. Look here, the results of it. The actions are fear. They feared Him. They knew they were naked, nakedness. And they try to cover up with fig leaves, and they're hiding. Their actions prove that they knew. They had a conscience of sin. Now look, guys, that's a reflection to us. Now I don't know about you, but actually I'm going to be real frank with you. I don't have any memory of ever being innocent. I don't. There's very little in the Bible that we're told about Adam and Eve when they were innocent. Some, but very little. And all the rest of the voluminous pages of the Bible are about what happened after they fell. Think about that. When you come into this world, Adam and Eve are a reflection. You're a reflection of them. And for a little while, you're innocent. But I know you guys were, but it's a very short time. Look, I know you guys came into this world screaming and crying just for something to eat, right? I don't have one memory of that. You know what? I think I came into the world going, guilty, guilty. I don't have any conscious thought of ever being innocent. What am I saying to you? I'm guilty. I have a conscience of sin with me today. Sin. A conscience of sin. Something else I want to say about Adam and Eve. We'll move on. They are the birthplace of the human gene pool. That's important.
Yep.
You know why that's important? You ever wonder what Adam and Eve looked like? Take a look around. There they sit. You're it. Their genes are your genes. There's no place else they've then come from. They are your great grandmother and granddaddy. Their chromosomes are yours. Now, why is that important to you and I? Because what they were, you are. Their blood is your blood. How they acted, you will act. What they did, you will do. Please listen to me. And what they knew, you know, and I know. What do I know? I know I'm guilty. And they knew they were guilty. Now, why is that important? If you're saved today, or if you're ever going to be saved, the first base, the first thing you've got to get to, where you have got to go, is a consciousness of sin. Sin in your life. Got to admit it. That's where we are. That's the first base. And God uses the story of Adam and Eve to show us that we are like them. How can I prove it to you beyond a shadow of a doubt? You're clothed. I'm really not going to go there, boy. I want to. I want to. They had a conscience of sin. They had a guilty conscience. I have a guilty conscience. I don't know about you, but every now and then I'll be driving somewhere and the devil will remind me of something I did and I just want to dive under the rocks and pull the grass over me. Yeah. Bible says the former things which you are now ashamed. What that is a conscience of sin. Now I know you wouldn't have that. All right, conscious of sin. Secondly, the consequence of sin. My goodness, folks, I don't have the mind to fathom that. I can't do that for you. How big is that? I mean, it's too big to measure, the consequences of sin. Everything that we think of, everything that's bad in this world, from Obama down, is a consequence of sin. But just think about it. Cancer is a consequence of sin. Darkness, blackness, wars, and more rumors of wars, the curse on the ground, consequence of sin. And AIDS, perversions, sins, thieves, thievery, politics, sin, consequence. Everything bad in this world, death. The wages of sin is? Some would say, well, Brother Dustin, I think you finally got it there. That measured it up pretty good. Would to God that you were right. But that's not near the end. I want you to take your Bible with me and turn to Romans chapter 5 and get verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12 in one hand, and get to Revelations 21 toward the end of it all. Revelations 21 and verse 8. Romans 5, verse 12. All right, we're talking about death. Talking about death. Get Romans 5, verse 12 in one hand, and get Revelations 21 in the other. 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin, that's our man, there he is, Adam, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sin, that's your physical death. You're dying a slow, decaying, losing battle death right now because of sin working in your members. Sin kills us, kills us all. Sin introduced into the world, but that's not the end. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. It's right there at 21 where you're at. I'll give you some ground and anchoring for where That's what's going on there. That's a great white throne judgment in 2011. This is a judgment where all the folks that think they're going to be judged and come out to be okay are judged by their works. I want to say this to you. If you study it, that's where everybody comes up, dude. Most everybody that needs to be yet to be judged are going to come up right there. Now listen to me. 99 2/3 of them are lost. They're judged for righteousness' sake because God will not unjustly condemn anybody. You're going to face everything at that white throne. It's a bad time. Now I want to show you something that's extreme. Look at verse 15 of chapter 20. The books are open at this judgment. There is a book of life, and your name has to be there. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now you died once, a physical death, when sin entered. You died and go to the grave. But last Sunday I taught you your soul's eternal. It comes up here to be judged one more last time. I don't know how long you've been dead. The least amount of time you could have been dead is 1,000 years. You can figure that out later. But I can tell you you've been dead a long time and up that soul comes. And it's going to be judged again. And if your name's not written in the book of life that put you into hell before, you're going to be judged and you come out of the frying pan into the fire. Out of a place called Abraham, called hell in the middle of the earth, and you're going into the lake of fire. What is that? It's a consequence of sin. You can't discuss the consequence of sin without going there, and I'm not trying to, I told you I loved you. I do. But if I loved you, I've got to tell you the truth. This is the consequence of sin. And one death won't get it covered. Look at verse 8 of chapter 21. These are the folks that are going in. 8:21. And the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters. And you say, I'm not in the list. Watch it. One more category. And all, what's the word? We call it fibbing. You ever told a fib? You know what the Bible says? God hates all liars. We got to get by that. You know why He hates that? Because He kept His word when He said, if you'll believe me and trust me and step out on faith, I'll give you my word. Word, word, word. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Shall He not do it? You staked your life in eternity on what God, S-A-I-D, said. And people that don't keep their word are antichrist, and it's very important to Him we keep our word. So He puts the liars in a pretty tough list. And all of us have fibbed. You can shake your head like this if you'd like. But here's where I'm going. You died once. Now look at this. Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which we just read, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the what? That's called by the theologians the eternal death. The soul will spend an eternity dying in a lake of fire. Now that's a horrible consequence. But that's not all. Let's go back, please, to Genesis. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verse 21. And Genesis 3:21 says this, and Adam also and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now there's just so much in there. I mean, there's 30 hours of study in that one verse. Coats of skins and God made it and on and on and on it goes. It is the illustration of the whole Bible. It's encapsulated in one verse. He made coats of skin. Can't touch it. We can scratch it. We can say this, three things about the coats of skin. Number one, your fig leaves won't work. Didn't work. God will not accept fig leaves. Now, what is fig leaves? Everything is an illustrative. Everything is symbolism with God. The whole book, I love it, is metaphors and allegories. But your attempts, their attempts, and we're just like them, right, with those genes, to cover up our sin was with fig leaves. I have a message. He says this all the time, but it's another sermon. It's called fig leaf religion. It has 3 points. The fig leaves of religion, the fig leaf of good works, and the fig leaf of goodness. Those 3 points. None of them will work. God will not accept our efforts to save ourselves. Nothing works. And you just go through there, systematically kill all of them. And it's the truth, see? So when you come to God, you know what we do? We come to Him and we're covered up like this, and we've just got fig leaves all over us, and we're scared to death like Adam and Eve, and we're crying, God, give me a covering. And He made a covering of skins, made coats of skins. All right, your fig leaves won't work. Secondly, God Himself will provide. God will provide for you. He'll provide a way. He'll provide a cure. He's going to fix it. He has got a way. You've got to accept it no matter how horrible it seems to you. No matter how much it hurts your feelings, that He will not accept your goodness nor your good works. Brother Ruckman taught me a very important saying. He said, Brother Dunson, hell's going to be so full of good people there won't be room to sit down. You know, I thought about that, and it's true. Because they went to hell trusting their goodness instead of going to heaven trusting Jesus Christ. All right, so you have to trust His provision and not yours. You're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to take your fig leaves off, stand naked before Him, and show Him you have a need. We have a need. Thirdly, obviously, a lamb had to die. Now that was a horrible scene. A horrible scene. Let me think about this with me, please. That lamb, that first blood, first death, they had never seen it. And I'll promise you, God did not do this thing behind their back. He said, stand still. And He brought however many lambs it takes to make coats. And in front of them, they had never seen such a thing. First death, first blood, first skin. And in front of them, they see all of those horrible images. And they have a literal vision of the consequence of their sin. To make a covering that would be acceptable by God Almighty, they had to give up their fig leaves, take what God provides, and then an innocent, pure, perfect, harmless, helpless, loving lamb had to die right in front of their eyes. And if I know God, when the skins draped their body, they were still warm. Horrible scene. You say this, that's too horrible for my children. Don't talk to my, listen to me. The best friend your children has is the one that will tell them graphically and vividly the consequences of their sin. A lamb had to die. God took Adam and Eve's sin, and their judgment, by the way, and He placed it on those lambs. The wages of sin is what? Something's got to die. And those poor, helpless lambs perish right in front of their eyes. All right? Consequences of sin. The consciousness of sin. And thank God, the cure for sin. Now I know something. Now I understand something. Now for maybe the first time, I understand just exactly what John the Baptist meant. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a man of righteousness and a tough man. Lived out in the wilderness. He loved God and proved it, boy. He gave it all. And he was a forerunner of Christ. What he did, his mission was to manifest Jesus Christ, Israel. That was his job. And he's baptizing for the remission of sins. And he's in the wilderness, and hundreds and thousands are coming to him to receive his word and his baptism. And he's preaching Jesus Christ, and he's preaching righteousness. And he sees in a crowd of those coming to him, he sees the Son of God that he's been looking for, praying for, preaching about for so long, and right there he is. And he couldn't hold himself back. He hollers with a loud voice, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now I know something. All of those lambs in the Old Testament, hundreds of thousands of lambs, was to set aside sin. But it couldn't redeem sin. It couldn't atone for sin. Your salvation was not completed, and they're waiting on the Lamb. All of those lambs, and now one Lamb for eternity. Now I understand something. I understand that God requires innocent human blood, and there is none. Innocent human blood to pay, redeem, and atone forever my sin. An innocent lamb, a pure lamb, harmless lamb, helpless lamb, a sacrificial, substitutionary blood atonement. I get it now. And in God's masterful symbolism, I see the first lamb and its horrible death, which doesn't compare to the real lamb and his horrible death. My sin and Adam's sin caused that. My sin put him there. And I see now. I said I feel sorry for Adam and Eve because they had to suffer through seeing that lamb perish because of their sin. Let me ask you something. What do you think God suffered as he did it, thinking about what his son was going to have to do? That's the cure for sin. Everybody needs a cure. My wife needs a cure. My wife needs a cure. You have a church member who's got one of the most graphic illustrations of sin and death that I know. It happened to him in real life. Monty Morgan, my good buddy. He got bit by a bat. Now, bats carry rabies. Rabies is still fatal if you don't get it cared for. Brother Ruckman has a message called sin as a serpent. Once it bites you, it gets in you, see, and circulates and causes and brings about death. Monty had death circulating in his system. Thank God there was a cure. You know what Monty had to do? He had to take the cure, or he was going to die. Now that's the end of it. He had to take the cure, or he was going to die. Death was reigning in his body. Death, sin and death is there. But he had already taken the cure for sin. He's a saved man. And now a virus, a deadly virus, like sin, was reigning in his body. And he took the cure. I want you to forgive me for giving you this morning a jailhouse illustration. It's so simple, I thought I shouldn't do it. It's a children's illustration. But you know what I learned in jail? Suffer the little children to come unto me. He that will not come unto me as a little child shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. You know what I learned in there? Those old men were tough now, I'm going to tell you. But the simplest and the truest was the greatest effect. They had a great effect. Now, this is representative of you. This is you. There's a little water in there, and it's good and nice and clear. You know why I put a little water in there? Because it's pure. And you and I are not pure very long. Because then something is introduced into our life through consciousness, and it's called, through our conscience comes consequence. And in enters death and sin. And that beautiful, clear stuff is now dark and clouded, and death is now amongst our members, just like Monty. It's in there. Just like Monty, we need a cure. Just like Monty, he took the cure. The cure. The death is in here. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "Wherefore by one man, our Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men." And then the second death is eternity in hell. Now how can we, you know what we need? I need a cure, man. Look here. You know what this is? You may not recognize, just the blood of Jesus Christ. We started today with this. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's a cure unto Him that loved us and washed us from our blood, from our sins in His own blood. Secure. We got to have the cure. Got to take it. Money don't take it, he dies. It's a simple question and a simple little message. Have you taken the cure? Would you take the cure? Would you take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let Him be your cure? Wow. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all from our sin. Pure again. Oh God, oh God, oh God, could I ever be innocent again?